that the word faith appears, I didn't count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Wow. 25 times in one chapter. What is that chapter about? I think faith. I think it's, of course it is. But before we began to draw lessons from that passage of Scripture, we want to put it in its proper context. The author, and we have concluded that we don't know who it was, but he was a very intelligent, a man totally experienced in the Hebrew and Jewish culture. He was an artiste, if you will, with words at least. It's a marvelous chapter. But if you will remember back at the end of chapter 10, especially at verse 26, I want to set the context as to when this chapter comes into play. It is directly after one of the most serious moments in the book of Hebrews. I'll read that just a bit. Verse 26, chapter 10. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Whoa. That's a strong introduction, isn't it, to chapter 11? But I wanted to put it in its proper context. You remember, the context is we got a lot of Jewish believers. They have come to know Christ as Savior. They have come under severe persecution. We find that in two or three other places in the book. History shows that as well. That these men, these people had come under severe persecution because they had left Judaism and became Christians. And they were suffering terrible persecution. And so that is that warning passage, of which there are several in the book of Hebrews, comes almost directly before chapter 11. You will notice in verse 39 of chapter 10 how the author finishes that particular chapter. And by the way, chapter divisions are not, they're not inspired, okay? Chapter divisions are just chapter divisions. Men made those decisions, not the Lord. Sometimes they're a bit clumsy. But here, verse 39, he joins those persecuted Jewish believers, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And so he identifies with those people who are wrestling with their faith and wondering if maybe to avoid further persecution, even execution, They should just revert back to Judaism. The author of Hebrews is not at all happy with that. And yet he has found a variety of ways of communicating the reality of the faith. And so chapter 11 comes immediately after that. It's commonly called and lifted out of the Bible, and I don't want that to happen. There's a reason that it's in right after the things that we read. Because it's all about this glorious truth of faith. The one thing that transcends, if you will, time, divisions of ages. Faith goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And it continues on to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about faith. There are no Old Testament, New Testament differences in faith. Faith is believing. And he starts the passage by verse 1. Now faith is the substance, my version says. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen the Lord yet, have you? I shouldn't ask that, have you? Somebody might say, yes, I have. And then I'd be the next 30 minutes trying to get out of that. Most of us have not seen the Lord. But we have faith in Him. And that what He said was true and what He did was true. And that His sacrifice for our sins and that there is redemption only in Him. And it is all by faith. My Catholic family members don't quite understand when I try to explain to them that salvation is by faith alone. They understand some definition of faith, but it includes work for them. You got to do some things. But the one thing that you have to do, and we'll find out from the examples of that are given here, is that you have to reach up in one thing and one thing only, faith. The same applies today. We don't ask you to come here to do a bunch of things in order to qualify for heaven or whatever, but rather to communicate to you the reality that salvation in any age is by faith and by faith alone. It excludes any works of righteousness. This is basic theology in Christianity. And yet there are still millions who misunderstand it. That somehow my righteous acts will help me be saved. Well, fortunately for me, I have no righteous acts, okay? So before I came to faith, I didn't have any righteous acts to really add up, you know. Never did. Mine were pretty much lousy. Okay. But when they communicated the gospel to me, ultimately, after nearly a year of that, I believed by faith in what they said from the scriptures. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. And that is by faith that we see it. Let's go to the text now and begin the process of working through. I'm not going to do a dissertation on every single person in this list. But the intent of the author is to identify those who are about ready to abandon the faith and try to connect them with all of those Old Testament saints that have that were faithful to the very end. And he's trying to build them up. when he says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's the end of chapter 10. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you were ever in debate with an atheist or a person that is inclined to science, they'll always say and ask, well, what is the evidence that there's a God? And I always cite 11:1. And that you can only imagine, that doesn't satisfy them, right? It does not. But I cite it nonetheless because it is it's a beautiful truth. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You don't have them in your hand, but you know there's truth and substance to those promises. Now what I'm going to try to do is to put us all, I want every single person in here to identify in the same way that he was asking these Jewish people to believe in these Old Testament saints. How were people saved in the Old Testament? It's a common question in theology. And of course, there are different schemes. Some people think that they literally were saved by keeping the Mosaic law. But the Apostle Paul destroyed that argument several times. And it left one thing. Faith. Faith. Nothing between the sinner and God. But faith. It is the substance of things hoped for. We'll see it when we see, well, what did these people, why did they believe like they did? And how come? And why did they go to death? Because they believed. Which is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Scientists, and those who believe that science is the ultimate answer to everything in mankind, it isn't. Because I know that science invented the Instant Pot. Are you all familiar? Do you have one at your house? Many of you probably do. The corporation went bankrupt. Gone. Folding up Chapter 11 protection. Science created, I suppose, the Instapot. But it really didn't do anything. It cooked. And some say it didn't cook as well as their own cooking. Others say it cooked better than that. So but science, which created the thing, kind of failed. Science has failed to tell us about the heavens. And we can reach up through the Word of God into the heavens and know that God created them. And we know that God regulates them every single moment. And we have faith in that God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. For those who believe, this is it. I have connected with my Lord who is at the right hand of the majesty on high by faith and faith alone. And I will be there with him. Do I know that? You bet I know that. Because I believe the promises of God. I believe Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham, he's in this list too. We'll go over that. He's an important one. Why is he in heaven? Because he believed. He had faith. Not because he was an important character. He was. But because he had faith. And faith alone. got him into heaven in the presence of God. For by it, faith, the elders, he's talking about everybody that came before, obtained a good testimony. Verse 2. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which are visible. Oh boy, do my scientist friends hate that one. Wait a minute. That said, God spoke a word, and the universe came into existence. It wasn't made out of gases and charges here and charges there, these negative and positive and things in a vacuum. There was no vacuum. There was nothing save God. And by His mere word, He created the heavens and the earth. By His word. Do you believe that? I believe that. Am I a fool? Am I not an intelligent? Well, excuse me, don't answer that. But, you know, it doesn't make me stupid. I have hope. And I believe that He created the universe. That the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. For, by faith, Abel, we're in the garden, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, his brother, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He believed God, and that's the reason he brought the sacrifice. It wasn't the sacrifice. He believed God and did what God said. God testifying of His gifts. And through it, He being dead, still speaks. And you know that's true. If you study the book of Genesis any time, or a preacher dealing with this issue, he's going to talk about Abel. Abel, unfortunately, he died fairly early. At the hand of his brother. Wow. And yet, he was declared righteous. Why? Because he believed God. He had faith in God. Did he have the same full, throated knowledge that we do? Absolutely not. But he did believe God and His promises. That's what the Bible calls for. Now, we as New Testament believers, we have a whole lot more. Revelation. We have a more instructions from God and so forth. These people had little, but they believed God. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He's one of those unusual characters, and it's kind of interesting that he should be included here, and his death in particular mentioned, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wow. Enoch didn't die. He was, we call it translated. He was just translated into the presence of God without death. An unusual character. And sometimes I hear him applied. I hear this reality applied as an example or a figure of Christ. There was a certain truth to that. But wait a minute. Christ died. He died an earthly death. Enoch didn't. So they're not the same. There are some similarities, of course, but they're not the same. But he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. And before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God by what way? By faith. The same as you. That's cool. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? That's what the scripture says right here. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. My scientist friends, they asked me, what evidence is there of God? And I said, goodness gracious. I said, there's so much evidence, it'd be hard for me to list. And I said, what the problem is, you can't see it until God shows it to you. Go to 1 Corinthians, please. Here I go back to where we've studied already. 1 Corinthians. I want to teach this because there's this passage from Hebrews affords me the opportunity to do so. Chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians. I'll begin in verse 10. I could read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to do it. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, and the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, spirit with a small s, of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's a passage that teaches that you can't examine God and prove God by science. Science is not equipped to study the spiritual. You can't come to a knowledge of Him. But the natural man, and this is the one I'm headed for, but the natural man, the unregenerate person, the lost individual, the man who has not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but the natural man does not receive or accept, if you will, the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. But then comes these words. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Did you get it? The Hebrews text is talking about something exactly like that. The first thing that happens, if you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and express faith, is that you must be made spiritual. We call it the new birth. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Those things are spiritually discerned. And unless one is spiritual by the Holy Spirit, unless he is drawn and reveals Christ to him, he will not believe. He cannot believe. And then it says this wonderful thing. But he who is spiritual judges all things. My atheist friends think that we shouldn't judge anybody, or we shouldn't judge any behaviors, or we shouldn't judge anything. But wait a minute. But he who is spiritual, a believer, judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no man. No one. And then comes this marvelous quote. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. I want you to remember that passage. We have the mind of Christ by the Spirit who has revealed God to us and indwells us that we might have faith in Him. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. Wonderful stuff. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Verse 6, back in chapter 11. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Why would he come to God if he didn't believe that He is? And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And then he begins this litany of faithful people. It'll take us a while to get through. I'm going to highlight some, skip over some rather quickly. But there's good reason to stop briefly and celebrate Noah. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, verse 1, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Yeah. How was Noah saved? The same way you were. By faith. The guy's building a boat in the middle of a desert. Well, not quite desert, but almost. And the people are thinking, this guy's a nutball. I'm sure they did, and took him a while to build that. But he believed what God had said. And believing, he did what? He went to work. And he built an ark. Interesting stuff that we and Noah were saved in the same fashion by believing God. He was divinely warned of things not yet seen. Then verse 8. Another extremely important person in the Old Testament. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place where he which he would receive as to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he's going. Oh, another nutball. He don't even know where he's going. He just obeyed God. Get up and get out of here, God says. Has that ever happened to you? Has me. Yeah, something like that. It's not related that my pitiful case is different from Noah's or Abraham's, but I have experienced something similar. By faith, verse 9, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country. When he got there, he lived in tents as a temporary person. He was like a camper, and he didn't settle in that land. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, of the same promise. Same promise. It was inherited. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And every one of you should have that same hope. It should be burning in your chest. Aren't you looking forward to that? I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Wow. And then I find out, so was Abraham. And so, we connect. And that's exactly what this author wants to happen between this account of these people and their persecution and their faith. And he wants them to repeat the same heroic faith as Abraham. By faith, verse 11, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Interesting. Here she is, and it's a miraculous a moment. A woman, I think she was, 90 and he was 100 or something like that. And she was past the age of childbearing. And she even says, well, Lord, surely you know my circumstances. But she got pregnant. And she bore a man. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, he was beyond the age, was born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. You may not know it, but you're one of those grains of sand if you're a believer this morning. We are the children of Abraham, Romans, the Apostle Paul said. We believe just like he did. We're not special in any sense except that we have the same faith as Abraham, the same faith as Sarah, the same faith as all these Old Testament heroes and these people. It's a marvelous connection. I feel it. And we're hoping that these Jewish believers who are about to abandon the faith believed it too and felt it too, that they connected with all of these people. That from one man, the entire human population blew up. These all died in faith. Faith, they died. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Now, faith is the evidence of things, or substance of things not hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. That's exactly what that text says. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let me tell you what. I am 81 years old. And as you get older, you begin to recognize real clearly you don't belong to this world anymore. I don't know if it's an age thing. You know, I've always talked about wanting to visit Ireland. Has anybody been to Ireland? Oh, there's some people that have been to Ireland. Okay. I want to go to Ireland really bad. That is to say, I flew over it once, and it even looked good from the air, okay, as I was flying out of London back to the U.S., but I've always wanted to go there, but I haven't realized that. And now I realize I don't care. I don't belong to this world anymore. I don't want to go to the beautiful places on earth. I want to skip that. I tease when I say I'm going to have the angels that are carrying me to heaven to pass over Ireland and let me take a look. But whatever. That's just a silly thing. I'm not of this world, and that's exactly what this person is saying here. That we are not. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers and pilgrims. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And it wasn't the land of Israel. It was a city whose builder and maker is God. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity of return. It's clear that the city and the land that they're talking about is a spiritual one and not some physical one, because they could have gone back. Abraham could have. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. There's the word better. The word better, as you've heard me say, characterizes the entire book of Hebrews. That which is better. Now, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Back to Abraham. Oops, I only got a minute to go. Maybe I better leave him alone. Abraham's an important character in the history of faith. And the Apostle Paul uses him when he's talking about those technical, what we call technical issues of being born anew and regeneration and the like. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's imputed by faith. I possess, though do not deserve, the righteousness of my Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been imputed to my account. My. I get to lift up and travel to that great city whose builder and maker is God. Not because of anything I've done, but because what Christ has done and has invited me to go with him. I'm waiting for that day. And I will rejoice, and I hope all of each and every one of you will do the same, because you have believed and had faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in our own case, God has revealed Christ and the gospel. And so now we know clearly, far better than the Old Testament saints, what to believe. They believed in a city, a spiritual city, and so forth. And they believed that God was telling the truth, and they believed him. But we have the gospel, and we must come to that gospel by faith, believing that Christ will lift us up and take us to that city, be it by common death. We did not get, by the way, to the text at 35. We'll probably make that next week. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. What in the world does that mean? We'll talk about that next week. Let's pray and finish. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for the precious words that you have left us, and that we might even read the truth of the Holy Spirit. And we're thankful, Father, for the Spirit that guides us in these things and draws us to you and equips us to understand and to believe. Empower us, Father, by faith, so that we will join the massive crowd of witnesses that we're seeing here. And we ask, Father, that you bless us together while we remain here. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much.